can't get you out of my head, which is truly like
huge banger.
I know, but also it's such, it's so funny because the can't get you out of my head is what gets fucking stuck in your head. And then you're like, I'm actually going crazy. Can't get you out of my head.
Okay.
The Broadcast, the biggest podcast in Vancouver, pretty much.
We participate in light misandry. Get out of here with that. Sexism. All of our societal structures are designed in ways to inherently prejudice women.
I don't like to be bamboozled.
Hi, Georgia. It's Troy Stetcher here. Thank you for labeling me the short king.
Vic actually just got the sweatshirt that says Mock Girl Summer.
I think it's amazing what you guys are doing, which I'm having a lot of fun.
Hi, and welcome to the Broadcast. Normally a men's hockey podcast is what we mostly focus on, but since it's International Women's Week, we missed International Women's Day because we were busy doing other things, and
being women is what we were
being
busy
women
being.
And so
women still, in the world,
it's still a good week, and it's still Women's History Month, so we're going to be talking about women's sports this week in general, because as much as we like to rag on men's hockey, we do actually watch other sports and women's sports. Actually, for a while, I was trying to train myself like to say sports and men's sports. But then I like kind of fell off the bandwagon on doing it. So I need to get back on that. Just trying to address my own biases by also being annoying.
Language matters, Mel.
Exactly. So we don't really have any new reviews because we've been kind of bizarrely off the grid for a while. It feels like we haven't recorded in a while, but everyone was very nice about our roundtable that Sam hosted last week. We had some guests. So if you haven't checked that out, you should after you listen to this, or as just to the interlude.
It's kind of you can listen to it at any time.
Yeah, it's very non-time sensitive. But yeah, we got some really good feedback. Thanks to everyone who quote retweeted it and shared it. And again, thanks to Gabby and to all of our amazing panelists. It got such good feedback. I think we're actually gonna try to do it semi-regularly, like once every few months, just so we can get some different perspectives.
Yeah, and also like we want to be using our platform to elevate other voices, especially because like we don't want people to have to build up their own platform just so they can say some things, you know.
It was really good. Mm-hmm. I like almost started to cry at one point, Sam, when you were talking and you could hear Sloan, and I just like it hit me in my feels where I'm like, wow, she gets to listen to all these like amazing women who are like the next generation, and maybe she won't have creepy men attack her on Twitter.
I think about like her as she gets older and like getting like randomly harassed by people, like probably more often than I should, but it's like, I was reading, I don't know if you read, Jessica Valenti wrote this piece about like how her daughter's 12 now and she's starting to have conversations with her about like random weirdos like following you down the street and like how you keep yourself safe and like all this stuff, and like how she forgot that like when she's like her daughter is just constantly like, it's so unfair being a woman, like she's experiencing all these things for the first time and like so upset by it, and she's like, I forget how desensitized we all become to it as we get older, because you're just like, this is what life is like as a woman. Mm-hmm. And she's like, watching her daughter be so angry about it is like really hard. And I was like, great, can't wait for that to happen.
It is like, I was trying to explain to Izzy like the shared kind of knowledge or experience that you have as a woman about like the sense of the socialized sense of fear that you have as a woman, but also like the sense of fear you have of saying no to a man. Joy, this is great, uplifting. Sorry, okay, to lead us down this track. I've been off for a month. I'm back with the depressing content. Mal, save us.
Okay, so George and I talk about this a lot because they were annoying. We talk about the Arsenal women a lot, and they're playing again this weekend. And we just want to talk about them more because normally they are a reprieve from Arsenal men being bad, but the Arsenal men like have been okay like recently. So, but the Arsenal women are at the top of the table to play Brighton on Sunday, which hopefully should be good. And honestly, like, I just like want to, if you, we don't even like have that many things to report about the Arsenal women other than they're so great. And they have like arguably, I think that Vivian Venema is like the best striker. Like she's definitely
she like, one. She's like the fastest person to like 100. She's so excellent. Yeah. She's really, she's 25.
Yeah.
She's whole career ahead of her.
Yeah, she's a Dutch player and she's incredible. We have Leah Williamson, who's the captain of the England team. Katie McCabe is also incredible and she's plays for Ireland internationally. And like, if you're not watching women's soccer regularly, like you're genuinely missing out on some of the best sport like has to offer, really. Mm-hmm. I really think that I mean, I am like biased, obviously, but I prefer women's soccer to men's soccer. I think that it's the way that it's played is more elegant and better. And I don't know. I just wanted to like mention them as my general shout out because they're great. And also they have so many couples on the team. George and I were talking about this before we started recording. We were trying to list off, because I was talking about Miedema, and Georgia was saying that whenever she Googles it, she like finds something that's like this vlog channel of her and her girlfriend who used to play for Arsenal, now she plays for West Ham. But Tobin Heath is now with Arsenal. She's dating Kristen Press, who's of Angel City FC, which doesn't exist yet, but is in the process of existing.
Isn't it owned by like Jessica Chastain and like
it's owned by random... a bunch of celebrities are like micro owners, you know?
I feel like also a micro owner is like Gabrielle Union and Dwayne Wade's daughter.
Yes. Like, it's made so her an great. Owner.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's also really their like branding is so beautiful. Like if you need, I will say that like obviously if you're wanting to pick a new team, like you could also pick the Kansas City Current, who we're not gonna be bad this year. We're gonna be good. we were so bad last year. But we were a brand new team. But Angel City is just getting started and they're really good. I mean, outside of the like women's league in the UK, the NWSL as well, which is maybe more time zone friendly for our listeners.
I do think it would be interesting one day to have like to learn more about the structure of the women's prem and like the way that European women's soccer is built upon having like the men's side and then the women's side of the same team versus the structures in the NWSL.
Yeah, which, I really think that it's nice because it has that like
built-in fan support.
And also then you can claim people are like fake fans for not supporting. Being like, oh, you're like, you say you're an Arsenal fan?
Yeah.
Okay, are you really?
Yeah, because I would love to learn more because I think there's a lot of debates with women's hockey about whether that's the way to go, is to have if there should be a Vancouver mm-hmm. Canucks women's team or like if it should be partnered.
Yeah, I mean like obviously the Calgary Inferno and the Flames had like a partnership and everything. And I really think that that really only exists in the PHF now with the Boston teams, it really seems.
Mm.
But
yeah. So no, I would just be genuinely curious about like what, I guess, what the pros and cons are, I guess.
Yeah, they do it not only just in Europe. I know in South America, they have mm-hmm. some women, like there's a mm-hmm. women's team and a men's team that are
because
essentially the same thing.
Yeah, because in it's just all across Europe. Because I know that Julia Grosso, who scored like the winning goal for Canada, just signed with Juventus Women's, And so, yeah, anyway, I think it's just really, I think it's really interesting. And then it also forces the men of the teams to like actually show up and support.
That's true. Acknowledge them.
They like have to acknowledge them. Very funny. Very good.
Moving slightly into things, moving only into like, not out of Europe. So I wanted to talk about like the W Series, and it is a like all female single seater like racing championship, which a big issue with racing is not having like money, essentially. That's like one of the huge things. There's like a selection process, and you don't have to pay like an cost to like even run it yourself. Like it's basically like a scholarship series. It's just like 20 of the best like female drivers that want to participate in this, and you are, it's like the same machine as they use in F3, which is another like feeder series, but something, it started existing in 2018, and then it didn't exist in 2020 because of COVID, obviously, but it was back in 2021. Jamie Chadwick won the championship in its inaugural series, I think it started existing in 2019 then. I think it launched with purpose of doing it in 2018. Anyway, I digress. She's won it twice. She's won every time it's existed. And people were really disappointed because it was announced that Jamie Chadwick would be participating in W Series again this year. And it's not supposed to be seen as like the top women's series or anything, like, because especially it's a sport which doesn't need to be.
Yeah, I was going to ask, why is it gendered?
See,
the thing, better to have women because there's chances that they're smaller.
I mean, like, yeah, that's the thing, is it's not a gendered thing. It's just the problem is that there's been women in F2 and F3 before. There's even been a woman who's driven in F1 before, but like the problem is that there's so many. It's trying to set up people for success and like give them that platform for like visibility, for getting sponsors and stuff. Mm-hmm. And the thought is like a jumping off point for maybe entering F2 or F3, because you need a certain amount of like super license points to even drive and practice in F1.
Who's the guy who's married to Ginger Spice?
Christian Horner. He is
questions F1 for him. Principal.
Yeah.
Has he listened to his wife's music?
Yeah.
Does he understand what the message of girl power means?
Oh my God. Okay. okay, let me get to this. What I'm saying is that the thing is that Jamie Chadwick didn't move up to like F2 or F3. And the thought was like, what's the point of this? Is this like supposed to be the pinnacle, like end all be all situation? And it's really just comes down to funding, even though she's won over $1 million. I think she's won $1.5 million just out of W Series alone. But that's still like not enough to like really give yourself the amount of money that you need for a seat. Funding for a seat, like I'm pretty sure an F2 seat is gonna run you like $2 million, and that's like with like everything, which is how it's like such a rich person sport.
Rich people go zoom,
which is like, but it's been such, actually I don't think that this is necessarily really a huge problem. I mean, it's obviously a problem that like she isn't really, she's almost like stagnant in this, but I don't think that she is permanently, because she's been doing other things. Like she was in this like Race of Champions up in Sweden, which was weird. I kind of seemed like a rally race. I don't know. She's also done Extreme E, which is like another kind of rally-esque thing. And it's not even just for people who want to be in Formula One, which is obviously, I guess, the like goal, because that is like the pinnacle of motorsport. Mm. But it is very much a jumping off point for just getting your name out there. Mm. And people have like been able to get like better sponsorships, which is such an important thing. And it's obviously just getting off the ground. Something that's very weird is that actually Jamie Chadwick will be racing in the car this year that Caitlyn Jenner is funding.
Excuse me?
Literally, the amount of like oil and like blood money that exists in the rest of motorsport, I'm like, Caitlyn Jenner, like that literally is like not even, that's not that bad. But yeah, the thing is that also it is kind of strange that it is segregated, because in mm-hmm. other situations, like it's kind of feeling some people are criticizing and claiming that it was a step backwards and saying that like segregating it. But the thing is that all of these women would have not had the opportunity to race mm-hmm. in like F3 car essentially, which is what they use for their like spec car. Without that, like a lot of these women have had to maybe take time off from like racing because of lack of funding. Mm-hmm. Literally Alice Powell, who was up against Jamie Chadwick for the championship, like the entire season, literally before the season started, she had a GoFundMe because she couldn't afford her helmet because it was like super expensive. Like everything costs so much money. So
how much do you want to bet that there's like people in boardrooms that are like, can't let women drive because like, what if they have their period?
Probably. Well, they're probably worried about like, you know, I don't know, like your uterus like shooting out of you if you're going that fast. Like they literally thought when they first invented cars, they were like, I don't know if women can get in these. It might mess up their reproductive systems.
I always just think of that, the story. I don't even know if it's true, but like the story of the first woman who went into space and they got her like 300, like I can't, it wasn't even 300, it was like some crazy amount of like tampons. She was going up to space for like 5 days or something. And they're like, is this enough?
So like
yeah.
I actually, okay, I'm not saying that like that like makes sense like of that situation, but like how does it work in zero gravity?
I don't know. I would just assume that like your body would probably react to like going to space, and you would just be a little fucking stressed and would not get your period.
If you're planning all these other things like about this, why don't you just plan around your menstrual cycle?
Yeah.
Be like, maybe I'm not bleeding when I'm going to go, except for like knowing, like they would knowing men, they'd probably be like, we don't want to take that into consideration. It's too much effort.
Oh, that's so funny.
But a lot of the people in W Series are very cool. And a lot of them did stunt work on the most recent James Bond movie. Multiple of them did. Naomi Schiff, who I have a huge crush on, did. She's very cool.
Mal, you should become a W Series WAG.
I would love to. I was in Austin hunting. Naomi Schiff, unfortunately, is straight and does have a boyfriend who is just some British man. She posts him on his Instagram and I say, this is a British man.
I love how you say you were in Austin hunting. I'm pretty sure you like passed out on the first day. What happened on the first day?
I threw up 4 times.
Okay. Because it was hot?
Because I don't deal well. Okay. If it's really hot, and also like I've actually gotten sick due to heat multiple times before. So this wasn't like completely like new experience. I had driven, which was stupid of me in hindsight, but also in hindsight, I don't know why I would have flown. So it wasn't that stupid, but I drove to Dallas and then I got up early the next day and drove to Austin. Altogether, that's like 10 hours or something.
Yeah.
It was like disgusting. October, and I was already like in it. For some reason, it was like unseasonably hot. And like, I didn't like really pack for like, I like packed like jeans and stuff. I was like, oh, it's like October, whatever. It's like, it still might be hot, but I assume mm-hmm. it's just going to be like normal weather. Anyway, it was unseasonably hot. I threw up twice. Once I threw up twice because I threw up 2 times both times, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then before I have thrown up, I threw up one time. I was really jet lagged and I threw up in Madrid. They don't have AC. I threw up in the basement of this like breakfast place, and it was like right after I'd gotten off the plane, so I was like jet lagged and stuff. And then I got really sick in Miami once because I had just come back from like spending the entire summer in like Ireland and Scotland.
Mm.
So
that's fair.
Sudden changes and also being tired.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've thrown up on the sea bus, so
But like, it was on Friday. Like the other 2 days I was there, like.
You were hunting.
I was, yeah. I mean, like, just because I like puked doesn't mean like I wasn't like looking for a wife.
You were looking for someone who could look after you at your worst.
Exactly.
What's that stupid Marilyn Monroe quote that everyone uses?
If you can't deal with me puking four times at Formula One,
don't deserve me at my best. Which is puking twice in the basement of a Madrid restaurant.
It was once. I puked once. I was like, I don't think this is going well.
This is like, this is taking a real turn for what Sloan's getting as education. Okay,
anyway, if you from last on. Week.
Let's talk about Brittany Griner, because this is an insane story. Like, it's insane, and yet we're over here fucking talking about which Canuck to trade. And like it's so true. If this was a male player, this would be like, people would be losing their minds. It would be like insanity. It would be insanity.
I mean, can we discuss that? Like, if it were a male athlete, he would be there of his own volition because he wasn't good enough to make a professional league in the States, and not because he
yes.
doesn't get paid a living wage as a professional woman athlete.
Yes.
Also, the WNBA is harder to be in than yeah. the NBA. Like,
yeah,
it's more selective, and you have to be like a better player. You have to be, it's not like, it's way more difficult to even stay in. So, mm-hmm. and you're having to spend your off season playing in Europe because you don't make enough money.
Yeah, in Europe or Asia. And so like, for people who don't know the story, Brittany Griner plays for the Phoenix Mercury. She's pretty famous in basketball. She's 6'9". And she was playing in Russia for UMMC Ekaterinburg. Because for a lot of, actually almost 50% of WNBA players play abroad during the off season. Like Sam was saying, because I think the salary, like the highest salary you can get in the WNBA is like it's under 250,000, I think. And so they actually get paid more to play abroad. And so you can, I don't know if it's more popular, or just they get paid more playing for European leagues. Anyway, so she was there, and I think she's coming back to America. I don't know if the season was over or what, but she got pulled into custody for having possession of vapes and cannabis oil, vape pens and cannabis oil. And she's been in custody for like 3 weeks, but it only got released. She'd been in custody for like over 2.5 weeks before it got released. And she faces up to 10 years if she's convicted. Obviously, this is all happening while Russia is at war with the Ukraine. I don't really know what we're like the proper terminology. Listen to Roxy Fever. They discuss this. So there's kind of obviously issues with that, because the US is like on Russia's like unfriendly list or whatever, obviously, because of sanctions and like, you know, just like the geopolitics of the last, I don't know, 80 years. And so no one knows like what her conditions are like in jail. Obviously, Russia has some issues with homophobia. She's pretty openly lesbian. She's also Black. Like, there's so much happening, and yet, like, it feels like no one cares, which is it's just insane. And yeah, like, first of all, it's insane that she, like, meanwhile, fucking Jake Virtanen just like left his team while he's gonna go to trial or whatever for like, it makes me crazy. Anyway, I'm digressing. Yeah, it's just, it's insane that this is something that could happen. And life goes on, I guess, for like people. And no one really knows what's going to happen with her because.
Yeah, it's really absurd. And I know that some people in Congress, I mean, have spoken a little bit about, like, only like very recently. Like, it's definitely gone on for longer. Like we said, like, this has not like been a huge story from the get-go, which it should be, but I've like spoken about getting like access like through the embassy and like consulate and stuff, but they haven't been able to, which is especially weird. Mm-hmm. Because normally if you get in any sort of trouble, pretty much your embassy will go to bat for you, like,
yeah,
which is like, no matter what crime you committed, the U.S. embassy will like really go to bat for you. And there's not been anything that's really happened on that front, which obviously is due to strained relations, I guess, that have been happening, which, once again, listen to Roxy Fever. They're very smart. Occasionally. One time Vyas did ask what the girl version of a himbo was. So sometimes.
this is an all-time moment. It's just like, I don't know. During my hiatus when I was working on my thesis, I watched Love and Basketball, which is, I will actually claim, is the best sports movie of all time. No offense to everyone. And it's so, it was so interesting to watch because it came out in like 2000, I think, or 2001. And the conversations that they're having. So for people, like people who haven't seen the movie, it's these like two childhood rivals, I guess, nemesis. A guy and a girl, and they go throughout high school and they end up both playing for USC and then in college. And then she ends up playing in Europe for, I think, Madrid or Barcelona. And he ends up in the NBA, but it's like this really interesting exploration of the way that women navigate sports. And then also the kind of economic precarity of it. And it's like, that was 20 years ago. And yes, there's like the WNBA is pretty powerful now, but like they're still going overseas to play, which is wild. And meanwhile, like, yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's crazy. I definitely recommend that movie for anyone. It's very good. Made me cry. But yeah, I just like people should care about Brittany Griner. Like, I can't believe it. Like, I just keep thinking, you know, if this had been the lockout like season when players were going over to play in the KHL, and this was like Nate McKinnon, it'd be a fucking national disaster in Canada. And like, or even in the States, if it was like, so, like, yeah, I don't know. It's just crazy. Makes me mad.
We can do our three stars, but we can do our favorite athletes, women.
Actually, I have something else, but still women.
What do you have?
My star of the week is Mina Kimes, who really went through one this week because
Russell
Wilson got traded while she was recording her podcast. And then Bobby Wagner, my love, also he got released by the Seahawks. But the Arizona Cardinals tried to like troll her by being like, "You okay, Mina Kimes?" And then she quote tweeted them with a picture of Kyler Murray batting for the who was it? The Oakland A's? Yeah. And so just like owned them, and it was a glorious moment. And I love Mina Kimes so much. I think like, yeah, she's an amazing person, and also just like she's a really fun example of how sports can be made different by having women involved, but like in a really fun way. And she's just like, everyone, if you ever want to see a deeply funny video, go watch the video of her when DK Metcalf got drafted by the Seahawks. And she just made the most crazy noises. She just went, yeah.
Oh, like, yeah, no, I've seen that. It's very good.
I'll like clip the audio in because it's so good.
The Seahawks are making the final pick of the second round of the 2019 NFL draft.
All right.
Hey, ladies.
Such a nice guy.
Thank you.
I was talking about Cam Chancellor.
No.
You didn't give Sean Alexander.
Yes! Yes!
I would imagine.
DK Metcalf.
That's exactly what DK Metcalf sounds like.
You did. I knew it! Yeah!
Golly.
Yeah!
I hate who this team is.
Her voice matches that DK Metcalf picture.
I was going to say
precisely.
I don't know what's happening at this point. DK Metcalf was just picked for you guys.
They needed a wide receiver.
None of us said anything mean to Mina.
What did I say? A possession guy. They need a strong guy. Yeah.
They got a strong guy.
I agreed with you. Listen, okay.
But anyway, it's just like, I love Mina Kimes. The piece she wrote about being a Seahawks fan and that experience she shares with her dad is like, I think one of the best pieces of sports writing of all time. And I think about it all the time. So yeah, that's my star, Mina Kimes.
Okay, my star for the week is Soraya Tinker, our dear friend, beloved podcast guest. Friend of the pod, who I think this was last week, she announced that she was the first female hockey player to be sponsored by Nike, which is very cool. So we've talked about money is a very huge thing, especially in women's sports, and give women your money and sponsor them, Nike. So that's very cool. I think she has even like a collection that she kind of like helped design, like some Air Force Ones, I think.
Oh, that's so
which
cool.
is very cool.
Oh, mm-hmm. I bought a Canucks Pride jersey.
Me too.
Or not jersey, not but shirt.
Sure.
Yeah. By Mio. It's very cool. Everyone should buy it. I think it's VanBase is doing them. It's like the Canucks, but through VanBase. There's like a hoodie. Mm-hmm. Two shirts and then like coffee cups and stuff. Very rad. Ooh.
That is actually who I was gonna say as my star.
Go for it.
Another friend of the pod, as Georgia just named, Mio, who designed the Canucks Pride jersey. And it is a sick jersey. I feel like the Canucks have done a really good job this season for all their theme night jerseys. Mm-hmm. They've all been really good, but this one in particular, I really liked. Like the level of detail she worked into that logo is incredible. So everyone should go check that out. And also, if you haven't listened to it, check out the episode we did with Mio where she walked us through her hockey art process because it was super, super interesting and super fun.
I don't understand why they don't just wear the jerseys.
I know.
Because the NHL's a joke.
Like, yeah. It's not that, like, that's they're true. Not that. Okay, I could kind of see, okay, maybe for the, like, Lunar New Year ones, because it's red instead of
yeah, but just blue. Coordinate but, like, earlier and be like, bring this other jersey.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't, like, it. Yeah, I don't know. Just, like, let them wear them. Oh, well. This one, no offense to the other years. I don't know who designed the other ones. But, like, this is incredible.
And yeah, I did really like the ones that just had the rainbow numbers, but that year they did have the Hockey is for Everyone ones, which mm-hmm. looked like people weren't wearing anything, which was embarrassing.
Yeah. So like, and even so many teams have been doing this because I saw the New Jersey Devils also have one. And it's just like the level of detail makes it so much more fun. Yeah. Anyway, everyone go buy. Go by and support. Also, I saw she was trying to fly to Vancouver and I wish she could be here to like actually see them in person. It's kind of sad the Canucks couldn't do that. Oh.
Okay. I forgot that I was hosting this episode, to be honest. So I just assumed somebody else was going to finish it. Anyway. Thank you for joining us this week. Continue to support women every day of the year.
Sorry
even
for all
when
the...
it's not International Women's Day.
We apologize, but also don't for all the bodily fluid discussions we had on this podcast.
I don't know. I assumed you would maybe abridge my puking story, but
we'll see how lazy I am tomorrow about editing.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was funny.
Because I could have given you more details if I thought that it was going to be more of a story.
Oh, Christ.
Okay. Oh. Yeah. So, thank you for joining us this week. Talk to us on the internet at Broadcast Pod in various places. And we'll see you soon to talk about other things. Talk about the trade deadline, which is coming up. Various Canucks news that we will figure out. They posted some picture the other day, and I was like, I've literally never seen that man in my life.
It was Phil DiGiuseppe. I did not know who he was. And then Quadrelli yelled at me about it.
Like, yeah,
I'm sorry, so, I don't know every Italian on this team. At least I know how to fucking cut a tomato.
We'll see you later. That's all. Goodbye.
Bye. Pay your reparations. Happy Women's Day.